Welcome to Get Big Out Loud Radio, where we explore living the complex, funny, and beautiful ride of life with me, Carrie Knutson, and Dr. Pat on TransformationTalkRadio.com. Are your thoughts keeping you small? Are you ready to get big? I will offer you ideas to transform what you are thinking into conscious action. Explore what is keeping you small and how to shift your behaviors in order to get big. Learn what is possible for you. Get ready to get big and live life out loud starting now.
Hey, everybody, welcome to another show that Carrie Knutson and I do together. It's so exciting. This is her show, Get Big Out Loud, Living the Complex, Funny, and Beautiful Ride of Life. There's never a surprise for me when I realize that she will pick a topic and the topic is so perfect for an experience. It's either an experience of what we may be going through as an organization or as individuals. But I will tell you, I just got back from a meeting this morning with three of us and three attorneys. And it really talks to the point of today's show. We need each other. We need each other. And what does that mean? If you're Carrie Knutson, what you know is you're traveling. You go from state to state, place to place. You take your top speaking, Get Big Out Loud platform out in the world. You talk about things that, whether it's psychology or you talk about emotional intelligence, EQ or human development, she may talk about what it's like to be that person that really takes a risk and opens up her business. She's a great storyteller. She's all of those things. She's also a closet rap artist, but we're not going to do that today. But when she decides that her topic is going to be a topic that says we need each other, this is when we need to stop for a minute and find out what's in her heart. Carrie, wow, right? What hit you with that? I know what hit me today.
Tell me what hit you, and then I'll tell you how I came at the top. Because we talk about interconnectedness. Tell me how it hit you, because I always love that it seems to come at the right time.
Well, the three of us went to a meeting this morning, and the bottom line is when the meeting was over, I said, we make a great team. You know, that there's not any one part of us that could have represented the topic at hand without the other two. Mm-hmm. I mean, the questions that each of us asked, the guidance, the direction. And I found that with the people that were also at the meeting, the other three people at the meeting. And what I found is they needed each other too. But when you schedule a meeting, and a very important one, and it's business related, you don't know. But I was really struck by how we needed each other, not just three of us, three of them, but when all six of us got together, we really needed each other to be the best we could be. Yeah. Now, aside from that, I decided to come to the East Coast to help my best friend get well. You see, this is a different type of need. It's a compassionate need. But sometimes we get caught up in how independent we are, how strong we are, you know, how we can take on the world. And when it boils down to it, I need you. You need me.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. Maybe not. What do you think?
No, absolutely. This is why I started thinking about this, because I was thinking about the topic for this month, and I was thinking about my own level of independence and my spirit of like, get it done, make it happen, do what it takes, and how people would even call me sometimes overly independent. Like I could probably depend on people a little bit more, you know, or let them know I trusted them to get things done, I guess, or like that I didn't just, okay, I'll do it myself kind of attitude. And I realized this month I had such an intense training and scheduling, speaking. This last month was incredible for me. And I was thinking of all the people who helped me be successful this month. And I was thinking about how, if I passed, you know, just this month, who's helped me be successful this year and in the past few years and then in my lifetime. And I thought about this idea of the ripple effect of you can be an independent-minded person, but what serves us even more is to consider and recognize our interdependence, because not only do we serve other people, but other people serve us in all sorts of ways. And so I really got to thinking about this idea this month, because I was kind of had a moment of thinking like, so many people made this month happen for me. And so that's when I came up with the idea of talking today about interdependence, especially because I'm that kind of pull yourself up by your own bootstraps, do your own thing, make it happen person. And to take a step back for all of us can be very, very enlightening, I'd say. And then it also softens up your heart a bit and creates a little more empathy. So that's why I want to talk about it today.
Yeah. You know, there's a part of this that I've been thinking about a lot. And, you know, I just had a call with Miss Jessica. And of course, you just talked to Linda. Sometimes it's hard for some of us. Maybe you can comment on this. Sometimes it's hard for some of us to admit we need help or we need another person. Right. And I'm glad you use the word need. Because in the sort of new thought arena, you know, we dance around the word need. Don't say need. That's not good. Say want. Say desire. But I'm so glad you said need. Because Maslow, one of my favorite hierarchies. Hello. Right? He's hierarchy very clear. Thank you.
And he didn't say hierarchy of wants or preferences. He didn't say hierarchy of needs.
He said hierarchy of needs, right?
Uh-huh. And when you think about what he said, the word need.
So one of the things that I wanted to ask you about, well, hold on for a minute. Let me make sure I got things going on here. One of the things I wanted to ask you about was, why do you think we don't like that word?
I feel like in our society, especially, I can speak to it because I'm, you know, part of this, but that we have a very kind of value-based system around independence and around doing things for ourselves, around like the American dream is even like, look at what people did and created and on their own, right? And this, but the story, what we don't tend to say is, look at all the people that helped along the way. So our value systems really tied into being independent, which again, I think is in other countries, you wouldn't see this as much. But in America, we definitely have this prescribed idea. And it's hard for us to say need, I need something, because then we see that as a weakness. I think we tie the word need with a weakness instead of with a natural human condition of our interconnectedness of needing each other. But we were taught like, you shouldn't need, you know, support in this way. And I see this a lot in adults, especially who are trying things that are new, especially like, for example, when I'm doing public speaking coaching, a lot of clients feel like they should be able to do this and they should have figured it out. Right. And they, why are they still nervous? Right? And they're being triggered by all these things about who they are and how they show up. Same thing when someone comes into therapy, a lot of times people feel anxious about that. They shouldn't need to talk about it, but they do. And what I often say to people, in both situations, one, when someone's sitting on the couch across from me is like, I'm so glad you came here because there's a lot of things you can figure out on your own. And there's some things that you can't. I'm so glad you came. Right. And then for like, we just need somebody to talk through things with. And then also for the people that are scared of public speaking, what's so interesting is like, sometimes you need a coach. Sometimes you need someone who has done the thing you want to do. And you need advice from them and help because you haven't done that thing, or you're not confident, or you're not ready, or you're stepping out of your comfort zone. But these two ideas strike me as so interesting because people are so vulnerable when they have to ask for help. I think because we set up this idea of you're not supposed to need help. When in the truth, when the truth of the matter, we all need help. And I think we could reclassify the idea of need or neediness. It is such a negative connotation, right? Yeah. But when you reframe this idea of interconnectedness, we need each other for all sorts of things. And things that I want to speak about this in the next part, but like things that we'll benefit from that we're not even a part of, people that we'll never even meet that have helped us do something, right? Strangers that impact us, as well as close family and friends. We need other people. And so reframing the idea of need or neediness into something that you can see as a strength, also as a vulnerability, also as a way to move yourself forward would be very powerful for most people.
Well, I could tell you sitting here today that if it wasn't for Karen supporting me this week, I would be in a whole different place. You see, that's how people show up for each other, you know, and Linda as well. And then in return, I get to show up and do what I do best, which is analyze information, be able to present things clearly, because each of us has a strong sense of ourselves. And there are very few people that have strong everything in the box. I mean, you ask some people, they'll say, yeah, I'm perfect. I got everything. I'm like perfect. Mm-hmm. I don't even think Einstein thought he was perfect. I think actually not. But when we break this down and we realize that need has been part of humanity for thousands and thousands of years, for as long as we recognize we were human beings, that is when the construct of need came up, correct?
Yes.
I'm hungry. I need food, right? It's a giant animal. I can't get it myself, right? I could try and then I'm the food.
Yes, but and we have to come together to help each other, right? Mm-hmm. And even if you go back that far and you think someone who kills the animal is not the same person who skins it, not the same person who cooks it, right? And then parceling it out. Like if you think back to the stories of why we live together, why we do things together, it's because we need each other and we need each other's skill sets. And take that analogy and put it into modern life. All the things we need to get through our day, to get where we're going, to have food that we want to eat, to have places to send our children to go to school, whatever it may be, we are interdependent to the max. And we live in societies that support that, where at the same time, our value system kind of rejects it. Right. So that's the interesting thing. We're living in a world where we see examples of this constantly, but sometimes in our mindset, the idea of needing others keeps us from that negative, you know, idea of neediness keeps us from engaging in ways that would be more productive, more powerful, better for our mental health, and keep us less isolated and lonely and connect with the reality of our situation, which is we need each other. And it's not negative.
You know, it's what I find fascinating is this morning. Let's just digress for a minute. Let's just go down a little bit different path if we could for a moment. I'm staying at Linda's house. I'm here. Karen's here. Linda's here. And little Sadie is here. Little Sadie. Hold on. Colton, you're going to scream, but don't worry.
Is it done?
It's going to be okay. Okay. Do you see that little dog? Little Sadie. That's Karen with her bag. She's leaving. But you see the little Sadie?
Yeah. Okay.
So I don't have a dog and I don't have a pet. But all you need to do is be around this little cute thing. I've been here for a bunch of weeks now. But this morning, I come down. I get up at 4 or 5 and I come down and I start my day. But this morning, the little Sadie, who's in with Karen, starts to bark. Now, obviously, this little dog wants something or needs something. And she just unusually barking, barking, barking. And I met her at the top of the stairs. So what did she need? She simply wanted to come down. She must have heard me, probably talking to myself. And she just wanted to come and hang out in here. How often do we as people want to do something like that, but second guess ourselves, feel like we're imposing on people, and never really ask for the things that are important to us?
No, definitely. Especially because, again, there's that vulnerability piece, right? I need something. But I don't think we're born that way. I don't think we start that way. Just like you're mentioning, the dog didn't have any second guesses about me. Here's what I need. I'm going to express myself. When we're children, we cry to express ourselves. We say what we want. When we're hungry, we're hungry. When we're tired, we're tired. You know, I love how little kids like go from one mood to the next without even thinking. They get their needs met because they say what they are. They need to be held. They need to be changed. They're hungry, right? And so I feel like we're innately born with ability to completely express our needs. Completely. And then as we grow up with time, we stop, again, whether it's our value system or what we think it means to be independent or strong or not needy, that again, that needy in the negative context, I think a lot of us repress the idea that we need other people. And even if it's, if you think, well, fine, for tangible things, right? But we also need people for intangible. The feeling you get when you connect with another person is fantastic. If the positive connection, when someone smiles at you on the street, when someone takes a little extra time to keep the door open for you, you know, when someone legitimately, I had a guy who was having a hard time parallel parking, and I was so embarrassed because that's just one of my horrible skill sets. And it was so sweet. This guy is like, I'll help you. And he was like, keep going. And he just took 2 minutes out of his day to be like, back up, right? Like, and I thought, then we just waved and he went on his way. But man, I got in my spot, right? And it was a sweet moment from someone I'll never see again. But look at me remembering it now, right? Like, it didn't, the whole idea of neediness seems to like it takes away from somebody, but I really think needing something, expressing our needs, getting our needs met reinforces our worthiness. And I think that is the crux of what a lot of people have a hard time with. Like, are you worthy of having needs and getting them met? Yeah. So I think the underlying issue is not only a fierce value of independence, do it yourself, but I think the underlying fact is, am I worthy of having my needs met?
Yeah. I mean, let's talk about this. Each of us have our skill sets. Now, I know that what Linda does is extremely detailed and important. I also know that if something pops up on the screen of her computer, technical, that is not going to be in her wheelhouse. But even in our day-to-day work or profession for a minute, let's talk about profession, your profession, professional speaker. You don't just pop up on a stage. I mean, you do, but there's an army behind something, right? I mean, I'm not just popping up here. We got Colton over here. We got Linda that put this stuff in the database. But talk about that. Do you think sometimes we take some of that for granted?
Oh, absolutely we do, which is some ways amazing because we live in a world where we can take it for granted, right? Where we're so service driven that we just do it. But here's to the example that you've started out, the idea of like, so when I go to speak somewhere, there's so many people, like say a conference, right? Like recently I did a keynote, 1600 people for a keynote. Getting that amount of people in chairs, getting that amount of chairs, getting the stage set up, right? Making the conference happen, getting the signage, all that stuff, right? Then I show up to get mic'd up. I got a team of people. And this is like a national conference. So, and this is range. This could range from like national conference from a team of people or a gig where like I got one guy in me, like setting stuff up. But it doesn't matter because tech people are so amazing. They're there to serve. And I think the interplay is so interesting because it's the interplay of if there's no one to speak, they don't have a job, right? And if they don't do their job well, you as the speaker doesn't look good. Like no one cares who's behind the curtain doing it. They just want it to sound and look good, right? And when it does, no one thinks twice about the tech people. When it all looks and sounds good, when the lights come on and the screens work and the mic works and there's no feedback, everyone's like, ah, and we've set that bar of the expectation. So you don't even think about it unless something is wrong. And that's what we tend to do. If something's wrong, then we notice, but that's the way we can kind of take it for granted. But to me, as a professional speaker, everything I do rests with if the sound quality is good at the event, at the venue, right? And so whether, like I said, whether it's a team of five people or a team of one, me and another person, we're together. And what I love is every time I show up to an event, it's like, are you ready? I'm ready. And as we're getting mic'd up and we're taking the test, I always feel like they're in service of their gifts. And I need that. I need them to do all the things I can't do, right? And they are in service of me speaking so they can do their jobs. And so this idea of interconnectedness and interplay, I really think it's important to recognize, especially some parts of your life where you're like, these people really help me, but yet no one else knows. And so I think next time you go to a conference, take a look back at the people operating the camera, take a look back at the people at the soundboard, right? Take a look at people. They're all dressed in black and they're running around making sure it looks good for you. And think about that speaker who got mic'd up and is wearing their battery pack in the back. Someone made sure fresh batteries are in there, by the way.
Yeah.
Someone made sure to know there's no feedback. Someone is muting your mic while someone else talks so that it all works, right? And so when you think about that for a moment, the performance is what it is, but the back end of it is so profound. So for me, again, thinking about any tech person who's ever helped me be better at a presentation, right? Because of them, I'm so grateful, because that's a behind the scenes thing that if it works, then it's just, that's the expectation, right? It works, but you don't think about being grateful in the moment that it is working so beautifully, right? Especially for someone like me, that's my
exactly. You know, last night I had done this report to get ready for this meeting today, totally not related to the work that you and I are talking about, but I know my strengths and I know my weaknesses. And it was very late at night and I printed it out and I asked Linda and Karen to look at it because I'm sure it had typos in it and it needed not. I'm sure I said some things that were not clear because most of it's in my brain. And, you know, between the three of us, we fine-tuned that document, printed it out, emailed to the parties today that we were meeting with. And as a result of that, the meeting went longer than we thought, but without a hitch, and we got some answers. You see, we need each other in ways we don't even think.
Right?
We don't think about it half the time.
But if you showed up, see, like you showed up saying like, I know I wrote this and I got a lot of stuff in my brain, and sometimes the translation from my brain to the paper, I need some help, right? So you were saying, hey, look this over. And they said, yes, right? And so that idea of, okay, and then doing it together made the product better than just on your own. But you had to start by, you couldn't be like, well, I'm, what if I show them this proposal and they judge it? Or what if it's not perfect? All right. And see, that is one attitude we have sometimes, which is why we don't ask for help.
Yeah.
Because we think we should do it all. And then you had the attitude in that moment of saying, hey, can you read this? Help me out. And then them saying yes is the way that it comes together. And again, in our lives, we can see so many examples of this. And how many times when you ask for help or when you say, I need something and people show up, is the product, the idea, the situation better than what you were doing on your own, right? I bet a lot of people listening can think of examples about that and can think of times when they're like, oh, I'm so glad I asked for help, or this is so much better that I didn't let my ego, because this is what you're talking about, Dr. Faz, when the ego gets in the way and says, I should be perfect. I should have this figured out. I should know how to write a proposal. Or my ego gets in the way and saying, I shouldn't let anyone else see if I make a mistake. So I better not share. So see, then the ego plays this whole part in keeping you fiercely independent at the expense of interdependence and progress. And we as humans do that a lot. And that's a great cycle to think about breaking, especially we feel it in our bodies. Usually when we feel that, like, I'm going to share, I'm going to ask for help, I'm going to say, I need this. And with friends, it's easy, right? With friends, it's easier. And in that group, you trust them. So sometimes what we have to bridge is like, if I don't know people, can I still ask? Or if I'm not confident, like, I'm just going to be a quick example based on this show. The first time I never done an intro or outro before. And I was super nervous about doing it. And the first time I did my take, I'm like, welcome to Get Big Out Loud with me, Carrie Knutson and Dr. Pat. And then whoever was on, I think it was Olivia was on the phone. She was like, oh, maybe say it again, but like, just talk like regular. Right? And the thing is, I needed that feedback. And then she goes, okay, now we're going to slow down a bit. And now we're going to do it again. And we're going to pause. Right. And so it took me like, I don't know, 7 or 10 takes to even get to something that sounded reasonably good, because I hadn't done it before, because I didn't know what I was doing. And I needed someone to say, do it this way. This sounds better. Right. So that idea of my ego had been like, I'm ready, I'm showing up to do it. That would have been such a different interaction. It would have been like me feeling defensive and having to be right and perfect. And there's a great quote that's perfect is the enemy of good. Sometimes you have to show up and it's good enough. And then sometimes we need others to say, do it like this, because I know better. And then you can say, thank you, because you want a better product. Yeah. Right? You want a better product.
And you know, this is really the blessing of feedback, because feedback, let's just talk about that. We could do a whole show on feedback, but the bottom line is we do need each other. And one of the things that I've said is, you know, if I want to up-level my skills about speaking, I'm going to call you. If I want to understand what are the components of really delivering, I'm going to call you, because there are some things that I do really well. And I love the commercial example that you gave, because Benny, if you ever talked to Benny 20 years ago, me recording my own commercials, I would be screaming at the phone because I didn't understand inflection. Mm-hmm. I didn't understand that you could say, we need each other, and not scream to say, you know. And so Benny, I'd be in this small room with Benny on this microphone, and he was so patient with me, because he would say, go do it with more energy, and I would do it louder. And what I realized is more energy is not louder. You can have energy and just be very soft, right? Mm-hmm. But that's what we're talking about today. All of the people, when we come back from break, I want to talk about the smaller needs. See, there are big needs, but there are small things in life. And I think it is the accumulation of the small things in life that if we don't realize we, quote, need them, they accumulate. And all the small needs that don't get addressed turn out to be monumental. It's mm-hmm. like the Diana Ross song, Ain't No Mountain High Enough. There is a mountain that is way too high. And that is the mountain of unresolved needs. Carrie, before we go to break, how do people find out more about you? Tell us where you're going to be and what you're doing.
So you can find me at KnutsonSpeaks.com, where I will not be singing Ain't No Mountain High Enough, but I might put that, I think we should have that as our opener. So KnutsonSpeaks is where you can find information about speaking events, coaching, consulting, my one-woman show, and all things Carrie are on that site, and also Instagram and Facebook under KnutsonSpeaks.
Okay, so before we go to break, think about this. James Bond, Casino Royale, fabulous movies. James Bond, Daniel Craig, Ava Green. The moment in that Bentley or whatever that car was, where he's poisoned and he's going into the car because he's got all of the stuff in the car, the communication, he's got the thing to put on the heart, you know, to get the heart pumping again. He's got talking to MI6 and they're telling him what to do. And the dude is punching the button and realizes one of the electrodes is not hooked up. You think he needs a little help there to the rescue. Vesper. Let's take a short break. We'll be right back.
Are you ready to get big and live your life out loud? Tune in to Get Big Out Loud Radio, exploring life through the lens of curiosity and compassion. With me, Carrie Knutson, joining Dr. Pat live every second Monday at 10 a.m. Pacific on TransformationTalkRadio.com. I will offer ideas to transform what you are thinking into conscious action. If you want to get big and live your life out loud, visit me at KnutsonSpeaks.com.
Do you get stuck in that someday attitude, living the same day over and over again with no action? The Becoming You Show, big ideas that inspire, impact, and influence your life with Leah Rowling is for you. Tune in every Friday at 11 a.m. Central on TransformationTalkRadio.com. This show will have you feeling inspired to take action with purpose and intention. For more information and to get in touch with me, visit www.leahrowling.com.
Thriving is not a word, it's an action, a state of being. Tune in to The Best Living Show. I'm your host, Dr. Rachel Sweet, every first and third Thursday at 6 p.m. Eastern on TransformationTalkRadio.com. This show will help you dig deep to find your state of thrive by looking at psychology, brain health, epigenetics, and more. We are more than our code. It's a different kind of code. It's the best living code. Visit DrRachelSweet.com. That's Dr. Rachel Sweet.
Cafe of Delight. conversations that enlighten and inspire with me, your host, Gail West. Tune into TransformationTalkRadio.com every second and fourth Thursday at 10 a.m. Pacific. We are at the precipice of one of the most exciting evolutions in human history. On Cafe of Delights, you will hear from those that are actively working at the edges of local, regional, and global transformation. For more information on hope for a new reality, visit Gail West at SuccessWithSoul.com.
Hey, everybody, welcome back to Get Big Out Loud with me, Dr. Pat, and the host of the fabulous show, Carrie Knutson, living the complex, funny, and beautiful ride of life. Today, we're talking about we need each other. It's just very simple, okay? It's like four little words. We need each other. We need each other. How often do we want to tell ourselves we don't? Carrie, before the break, I'll go back to my James Bond reference, but before we do that, please, again, tell people you're a coach. You help people with things like this, but also so much more. How can people hire you, find you, see you speak, everything?
Yes, well, you go to KnutsonSpeaks.com and you send me a note saying, I want help, right? And I need you, Gary. And I say, okay, what do you need? So I do a lot of my training work and presentations are for groups, organizations, companies that want help with things like emotional intelligence, authentic leaderships, conflict resolution, how to show up in spaces more thoughtful, it's being more thoughtful to other people's needs, what some people call soft skills. So all the things around human development that make organizations better. And then I help people by coaching, doing individual and small group coaching for people who want to take a deeper dive and make a, like, think about how this work applies to them as individuals. And then as an offshoot of speaking so much, I do a bunch of talks. I do between like 80 and 100 a year. People have said, can you help me be a better public speaker? I'm like, heck yeah. So then I got into that coaching as well. So for people who are interested in improving how they show up for public speaking. So that's been another offshoot of my coaching work. And then I have a one woman storytelling show. It's comedy and storytelling that I do a couple times a year in Denver, but I'd love to take on the road too. So that's what's in the works for me this year.
I love it. Now, look, I'm just going to blow by the James Bond movie, but Casino Royale, I mean, that was one of my favorite. I mean, it was certainly one of the first Daniel Craig James Bond, but I love Evergreen. I don't care what she's in. But it was very telling, and it showed his vulnerability. But it showed it at all across the board. The one part I referenced was, here's this guy that has got everything going for him, right? Everything. And he knows what to do to take care of the poison in his system. And he does everything right, except he doesn't check the electrodes to make sure the electrodes put in the heart thing that brings your heart back, right? This is James Bond. That is a critical moment. We experience critical moments in life where we absolutely need each other. Those are the critical moments. Mm-hmm. Of course, she shows up, plugs it in, he doesn't die. but in life, and the reason I'm bringing this up is because we go through life and we have situations where it is critical that we need people. But I think often the smaller needs get overlooked. What do you think?
Oh, sure. Well, because it's easier to point to the bigger needs. Like, it's easier to say, like, if you break your arm, everyone knows you need to go to the doctor and get a cast put on there, right? It's like an obvious need. But if you need a hug, or if you're lonely and you need some human interaction, or if you need to express yourself and let some emotions out, sometimes that, because it's in your head first and you can't physically see it, those needs don't get met. Because sometimes we feel like, is it weird that I need a hug? Is it weird that I want to talk about that? Something makes me sad. Is it weird? Like, we tend to talk ourselves out of that at the expense of really connecting with other people. And like you said, getting our needs met. And sometimes the smaller things, in terms of even like when you think about our, like, how we live our lives, we tend to think of the people nearest to us as like, these people have to meet my needs. But when, and then it's harder to like ask for strangers maybe, or other people, or sometimes it's hard to show up in the world as like, I'm a professional, I have a degree. I should be able to do these things. Like, we have some things in our heads that keep us. And I see this a lot in organizations I work with, that people are so, the idea of I'm just going to do it myself, or they micromanage people to death because they don't trust them. So they have to be involved in every single thing, and they don't try, instead of saying like, I can't run this whole thing. I need people to do this, this, and this with efficiency and quality. And we're all part of the bigger picture. So I see this a lot in management, where you like get people who are into perfectionism, micromanaging, because they can't say I need help because it's a perceived weakness. So in all kinds of circles, close circles, circles at work, circles that are farther away, I think we resist sometimes even the smaller things because they're in our heads. They're in our heads, and we can't show them to people.
Look, you and I have, we just came off of some speaking things we did, and I learned a lot from it. I haven't been out speaking in a really long time. So this was my first time out and about, you know, doing a major gig, let's call it. But when I read your example that you're going to share here in a second, I thought, no kidding, right? I mean, hair and makeup, check the lighting, walk the stage. Oh, wow, they put tape down. What the hell's the tape? Excuse me, take that back. What the heck's the tape? Like, what are you telling me? I'm going to stay in the tape? Who stays in the tape?
Who tapes you in, by the way? Who tapes Dr. Patton anywhere? Where's your box? I don't see that happening.
Oh, my God. But, and then, okay, let's talk about this. You get in late. Plane's delayed. But then you get there. Come on, let's talk now.
Yeah. So here's my example.
Oh, come on. Things.
So I was going to an event. I had been flying from the West Coast, from Washington State, back to Denver. And then but the flight was delayed by 3 hours. I was already getting in around 11. This put me now around 2. I still had to rent a car and then drive all the way to Colorado Springs, which is another hour from Denver. And I was staying at this place where there were like condos. And different. So it wasn't like a hotel. It was a conference center with a bunch of condos, and I'm driving it and it's raining and crazy. It's like out of a movie, right? I take so crazy because it's just raining at the airport. I take my luggage and I'm just drenched, right? There's just no way to not be drenched. I get in the car. I'm driving to Colorado Springs, water everywhere. I get there. I'm driving around feeling so frustrated because I can't find where my condo is supposed to be. I can't find, it's late. It's raining. And plus there's no part where to park. Everything's full. And I'm just starting to feel like that moment of like, it's 2 a.m. I don't know where I'm supposed to be. I've got all my stuff and I can't park anywhere to go look for things. And I'm scared a little bit because it's so late. And I'm in this weird place. And all of a sudden these lights come on behind me. And then I'm like, oh God, this guy, then, oh, someone's going to save me. Or someone's annoyed because I've been driving around, right? This guy splashes his lights and comes up beside me and I'm just about to cry, right? And I
right.
don't have my tolerance for really not expressing myself. I tend to cry when I get upset fairly easily. And so I was feeling emotional and he's like, and I'm like, I'm sorry if I'm blocking. I said, I'm sorry if I'm blocking your way. And he's like, no, I'm security. Do you need some help? I'm like, obviously. I said, I don't know where I am. I'm supposed to be here. I'm supposed to speak tomorrow. And I just was like, ah. He was so great.
To laugh at you, but I get it because I had the same thing.
Yes, we just, my emotions build up. And I can laugh at myself when I do it, but this is just me being me, how I show up in the world, right? I need reassurance and I need my plan to work. And so this guy is so beautiful. He's like, follow me. I'm going to take you where there's a place to park. Then we'll put your stuff in my car and then I'll drive you where you're supposed to go. So, and again, this is 2 a.m. Okay. So he does it. I follow him down, park my car. I'm still kind of vulnerable and emotional about it all. In the pouring rain, he's wet. I'm wet. We're transferring all my speaking stuff because I've got my swag. I've got my outfit stuff. I've got like 2 bags. I have things, right? Put it in his security truck.
Wow.
Drives me all over this condo situation, comes to, finds the place, brings all the things inside. Then I know that's past the security job's job, right? That's past his job. He brings everything inside and he knows that I'm like a little bit like this. And he says, hey, you made it. Tomorrow is another day.
Wow. Just
you made it. And he goes, you're going to do a great job on your talk. And then He leaves. And what I was left with is gratitude, just overwhelming gratitude. Like, is the security guard supposed to do all that stuff? I'm sure he could have said, you should park there. Sorry, you got to walk here. He could have done some things, but he took it a step further. He connected with our humanity, right? He did things that I couldn't do. He helped me in ways I couldn't help myself. He affirmed my neediness as okay. And even the way he said, like, he kind of said, like, you're here now. You can let it go. You're here now, right? Yeah. You're okay. The way he drug everything into that room. And then you know what he did? He pulled out a map and said, so tomorrow, here's where your car is going to be. He said, because he knew the next day I'd wake up, like, where the hell was it? It was raining middle of the night. I was driving around.
Wow.
He just, his care, his love. And I literally will never see him again, probably, right? Like, it was just this moment in time. But it's things like that where we're vulnerable and needy and we don't know, and people can show up for us and be of service past their job, past their J-O-B job. And we know when people do that for us, they're doing their job and like a bit more, or maybe it's the pride they have in their job, or maybe it's the connections they want to make. But that moment, Dr. Pat, will stick with me for so long, right? And it's been 2 weeks now, and I'm still just as grateful and touched and honored, and also that he set me up, because I gave a big keynote the next day. I had to like be there, and I wanted to do my part for these conference planners and all the people that came there, right? And I wanted to show up, and so he enabled me to show up in such a better way, right? But him being him and being generous allowed me then to calm down, be safe, and then show up the next day in a way that contributed to the conference.
Yeah. And, you know, we do it all the time. I mean, for example, people see us show up for the show, but they don't realize we've got Colton behind the scenes, pushing all the right buttons, switching between frames, putting in lower thirds, making sure that, you know, for the most part, you can hear us. We look okay. You got all the people before this. Linda put the show in the database today. I mean, you just have peoples that keep things moving. And, you know, I want to talk about this because the small things matter, and yet we just don't stop. You know, I opened up my email this morning, and, you know, I'm here in New Jersey and literally here in service of both two dear friends of mine, Linda and Karen, her sister, in so many ways, right? Because I could show up for that. I can show up for that. I could show up to help them with health issues or other things, like situations that are so easy for me.
Mm-hmm.
But I can do that, and I can show up that way. And then you go through your day. We work very hard this weekend because I'm really good at compartmentalizing things and then putting them back together in a new order that represents some kind of process, right?
Mm-hmm.
But I wake up this morning and I didn't check my email over the weekend. I think I'm going to not check my email over the weekend anymore. Because while I went through all my emails and I handled everything, there were two emails that were a little bit disturbing. Now, it was hard for me to read them and hard for me to get them, but I was in the right frame of mind. And it was the little things that helped me do that. It was the little things that helped me prepare for opening up hundreds of emails this morning, mm-hmm. and going through them and seeing the blessings in all of them. And I think we have to stop to see the blessings, even if there's a patch of grass that's a little dry, don't you?
Oh, well, and that's the whole part of it. The reason why, not just the idea of like, raising your conscious mindset to seeing the interconnectedness and to seeing the interdependence, but the feeling from it of gratitude, of also extending yourself the way people have extended to you, like really feeling the gratitude, feeling the emotions of other people, feeling the idea of like, I matter and they matter, me doing my part matters, especially I think when we're dealing with tough situations, if we're getting our needs met in other ways, it can help us show up to those situations. Or it helps us take feedback better, right? And or we can maybe just even be more patient. Like all the things that acknowledging our interconnectedness is to me has to do with a real level of honest gratitude for other people and the role they play, and how much, when the gravity, this is what I tend to think about, when something, like you said, I read two emails, let's say you got 100 and two of them were hard or difficult, right? But you got 98 that you can handle that are good, that say things, but we focus on those two, right? We focus on those two. And sometimes you're going to need your energy for those two, but you can't forget the perspective of the other 98, yeah, right? Yeah. And so we're not just what's wrong. We're not just what's bad. We're not just our failings. And having this attitude of interconnectedness, I think, helps us build empathy for other people. I think it helps us build consciousness around the interconnectedness. And then I think when things go wrong or hard for us, it's easier for us to say what we need because we know other people can help us. We know other people have skill sets. We know other people can do things. Like, and I think how many times I rely on my team so much, like my graphic designer, like I can't do it. And then I had my wonderful, my assistant is also named Linda. And she does spreadsheets. Like, I don't even know how to make a spreadsheet. And she's like showing me really some important things on there. And it makes me panic. Honestly, but I need the information. I need someone who know who she loves spreadsheets. She puts it together. And then we have the information we need because of her. And so I noticed my anxiety growing. And the interesting thing is she said to me one time, isn't it great? We're so different. That's why we work together so well. And I thought, oh my God, that's what it is. I don't need another Carrie on the team. Because that's a lot of Knutson going on already, right? And I'm an ideator and a talker. And even my husband, we were talking one time and I said, I feel like I need to get a reality check on a client that I'm working with. That he's like, you do, because he said, and again, some people, they could give us feedback, but he's like, because you're the cheerleader. You want it to work. You want them to come together. You want them to believe in themselves. And he goes, and they're not, and they don't. And he's like, you're going to need a different approach. He goes, because you're going to be sad that they didn't take your, you know, motivation and do something with it. He goes, they're in a different place. But again, having having my graphic designer be like, I can take this issue for you. Having Linda say, I can do the spreadsheet and find the information. Having my husband even say, you need to rethink your approach because you're going to be one sad girl if you keep going this way, right? So all these interactions and these people, what it does is it builds up confidence. So I no longer feel like I have to do all my graphic design work or learn about doing any kind of spreadsheet that, like, you know, outside my realm. And also it helps me listen to other people. Like my husband gives me so much other perspective feedback that is incredibly helpful, even though sometimes it's hard to hear.
Oh, so it is.
That we need each other. And that builds empathy for me. And that makes it easier as we move ahead.
And then wouldn't it be awkward if your husband didn't do that? Wouldn't it be awkward if he saw what was going on? You see, that's the partnership that you develop. That's why we need each other. We need each other at that level of compassion and help. I mean, we're getting ready to go to this meeting. I didn't have this outfit on. I had a golden black shirt. I knew how I had to dress for this meeting, had my hair done, makeup on, the whole thing, right? But you know, I put myself together in a way that I thought my hair looked pretty good. And then I come down the stairs, Linda is there, right? We're all going to, and Linda's fixing my hair. She's like pure perfection, right? And then I'm a little bit, my shirt is not, so she's picking my shirt up because you know what? I don't look in the mirror. I do walk out. But you see, that is what I would expect from her. She would never let me walk out, especially to a really important meeting like this,
right?
And not look my best, right? Right. Although she wouldn't let me airbrush makeup on her today. So I just wonder about that standard. No, that's a true statement.
That's why you're that's why you're besties.
That's why we're best friends. And, you know, part of this too is like this morning, this is a very emotional meeting. It was really, we're fighting for the rights of, you know, our friend here. And it was a very important legal meeting. And when you have a meeting like this, the person that's really in the middle of it, it's way emotional. And so both of us came together to support her in that way. You know, cold rag on her head, whatever the bleep was going on, you just show up. But do you know how many people don't have people like that in their lives, Carrie? Do you know that?
Well, that's the loneliness epidemic, right? That's the not connecting epidemic. That's the not making connections with, and that's why we have like this epidemic of loneliness in our country, even though people all around, because we are so fiercely independent that sometimes we don't think about cultivating those relationships, asking for help. How can I show up for you? I bet you can show up for me. Because sometimes it's actually too, letting you be of service today in that way is a gift. Letting other people do what they can for us instead of trying to do it all ourselves, or saying, no. Like, to me, sometimes the act of service, like, you're going to feel good that you could be there for your friend today. Right.
I did. Yeah.
Part of that feels good. And you know, you can do it in a way when also a lot of us, when we get shaky or weak or like emotionally, physically, or any other in situations where we just can't be our best, having people show up who are a step away from it, or who have a little more confidence, or who can hold our hand. Like, these are, again, the little things. Sometimes you need someone to be like, you can do it. And it's not the loudest voice in the room. It's someone saying, and maybe they're doing it because they squeezed your hand. Maybe they do it like that guy who said, you're here now. Tomorrow's a new day. You're going to do great. Wink, wink. See you later. Right. Maybe it's someone who says, like, it's okay. Right. I know you're scared. I'm here. Right. Or maybe it's someone who gives you an idea of like, how can I say this better? Like, I do this all the time. If I'm doing something, like, I'm not quite sure how to say it. I have a few friends that are very articulate. Then how would you say this? I need help to say this better. Right. And so maybe I'm using their words. Right. Or even when I think about this idea of, you don't have to do something big to do something. So when you are kind to someone who needs to get in line in the traffic, you know, queue, when you hold the door open for someone, when you smile at the checkout person, when you notice someone doing something right and tell them, not instead of when they're doing something wrong, because again, that's when it always comes up. When you say, hey, that was awesome what you did, or that was so helpful. This man, my daughter and I were buying flowers to, and we bought, she had a thing and I had a carton of them, and there was a third carton left. And this guy, he's like, I'll go out with you. He left his cashier station so we could just take one trip with these flowers, and he goes, have fun planting. Right. Like, that was a little moment that he shared with us, because we were all giddy about planting our flowers, and he shared in that moment. Right. And he, I can help. Let me do it. And instead of saying, no, don't bother, whatever, we said, sure, thank you. And then I wonder what he felt about this day, like helping some people with a bunch of flowers get into their car. Have fun planting. Right. It was a sweet and small moment. And you can overlook all those moments in life at the expense of so many bigger things that seem bigger. But at the end, most of us remember little moments. And if you even reflect, anyone even listening to this, if you reflect on the most important moments of your life, when people showed up for you, when people were there, what they said, what they did, it's usually the small but meaningful gestures or words that somehow, from friends, strangers, anyone, that made a difference. If you really look back, it's not necessarily the big things. It's the small things done with great love, great compassion, tenderness, generosity of spirit. Those things we remember, and those things make life worth living. Those things are about our humanness. Those are things connect us to each other. Being grateful to people and telling them and saying, thank you for what you did. I appreciate you. Like, those to me are those words people keep with them. It builds them up. And then just a quick example, I thanked every tech person before and afterwards. I said, thank you for making this go well. Thank you for making me look good. Thank you for taking the time to adjust all the buttons on the board. Thank you for running the lights and sound so flawlessly. Thank you so much. And half the time they're like, you're welcome, or it's my job. I said, your job is to show up, but you showed up and you showed up and made me feel taken care of, respected, and supported. So now I can go do my thing and rock the stage because of you. Thank you.
Yeah. I want to thank you for this show. This is a show we needed to do today, and we needed to hear. Around every corner, there is a need that is met. Around every corner, there's a need that's not met. And if we could just be more aware of how we can show up for others as well as have others show up for us, we could literally change our lives. Thank you for today. I'd love to know what your personal message is, and please tell people how they can find out more about you. Thank you so much for this today, Carrie.
Oh, thanks, Dr. Pat. Yes, people can find at me at KnutsonSpeaks.com and on social media. And my whole point of my business is, and even this podcast, Get Big. The idea of like, get big, not from ego, but from service. And my logo is a peacock, because you know when a peacock gets big, it's a sight to behold. And so my message is, let's get big, not from ego, but from service to other people. And in service of other people, let other people be in service to you. See, reframe need, right? And see it as our interconnectedness. And see if you can notice things as you go throughout your life where you are interconnected, where the role you play is having an impact on someone and the role they play is having an impact on you. And if you're brave enough or feel like it, say thank you, right? And feel that gratitude and express it. And that will bring us together. That is our interconnectedness.
I love it. Give out your website. I love this topic. It's changing my day. How do people find out more about you? One more time.
Sure. Go to KnutsonSpeaks.com. That's KnutsonSpeaks.com. I'm under social media, Facebook and Instagram, and my website that tell you about presentations that I offer, coaching that I offer, my one woman show, and how to get in touch with me if I can be of service to you or your organization.
I love it. Carrie Knutson, Get Big Out Loud. Thank you, Colton, for pushing all the right buttons. We seriously need you to do that. And thank you all. We do need you. We need all of you out there to help us spread the word, you know, to help remind us why this is so important for Carrie and myself and others on the network to show up. Because in the end, if you go back 20 years, you'll know me well enough to know you were my inspiration to do this to begin with. And you all are my inspiration to continue it. And we promise to deliver. Thank you all. We'll see you next time.
You have been listening to Get Big Out Loud Radio, where we explore the complex, funny, and beautiful ride of life with me, Carrie Knutson, joining Dr. Pat live every second Monday at 10 a.m. Pacific on TransformationTalkRadio.com. I will help you to know which thoughts are keeping you small in order for you to get big. Get big and live your life out loud. For more information, visit KnutsonSpeaks.com.
Views expressed on this program are those of the host, guests, and callers, and do not necessarily reflect the views of the station, its management, or advertisers. You're listening to Transformation Talk Radio.